A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
My shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no desire even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest a while. Rest. When I was a little boy, maybe 9 or 10 years old, I lived in a mobile home park. And the lot next door to us had been empty for 2 or 3 years. It was a place where my little brother and I used to play all the time. That empty lot became a battleground fraught with danger, a desert where we could unearth the mysteries of ancient Egypt, and the surface of the moon full of wonder and awe. Then one summer, an enormous truck came along, pulling a double wide, and parked it right there, in the middle of our playground. Now, this new place came with something we had never seen before. It was like a carport, but the roof was as high as the house, maybe even higher. My little brother and I were amazed at this thing. We wondered, what could it possibly be for? The new owners and my parents got friendly, and after a while, I overheard a conversation about that carport. The new guy, Joe was his name, was about 50. He was in his 50s, his early 50s probably, and had recently retired from a police force somewhere up north. And he'd always dreamed of traveling with his family. He had a son that was a little older than I was and a teenage daughter at the time. They'd come south, and he'd taken a job doing security work so that he could buy one of those big, fancy campers. You know, the kind that are the size of a tour bus, that has a king-sized bed and a jacuzzi tub in it. That's what that giant carport was sitting there waiting for. And then 2 years later, Joe had a massive heart attack. He survived it, but the brush with mortality had given him a new view of the world around him. I can vividly remember hearing him say to my father, "I should have just given up on that camper and been camping in a tent with my family for the last 2 years." His drive for something bigger, better, flashier, had made him forget what his real priorities were. Rest. A break from all the bustle and activity. Rest. A chance to renew, to stop, to slow down. Rest. An end of work, if even just for a little while. An opportunity to stop doing so that you can simply be. I was struck at reading a study that came out of UCLA several years ago that looked at the typical week of 32 middle-class families in the Los Angeles area. The idea was to take a detailed snapshot of American family life early in the 21st century. The results, according to one researcher, were disheartening. So consumed with working, collecting, amassing, and generally getting ahead, they actually spent very little time together enjoying what they were working for. As reported by The Globe, and the lead author and a professor of anthropology at UCLA said she shared her particular dismay at how little time family members spent outside. Something like 50 of the 64 parents, she said in the study, never stepped outside in the course of a week. When they gave us tours of their house, she'd say, they'd go, "There's the backyard, but I don't have time to go there." They were working a lot at home. Their leisure time was spent in front of the TV or in front of the computer. They didn't have time, in other words, to rest. We're familiar with the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy, but usually we interpret that in the light of A, generally negative reaction to commandments, and B, the assumption that Sabbath means church. But this commandment, or maybe it's better to call it a teaching, right, would have been unbelievably good news to a people who were recently slaves, whose time was never their own, and who never, ever had a guaranteed period of rest. "Wait a minute," you can almost hear them say when they heard those Ten Commandments. "You mean we get to rest? We have to rest? Hallelujah." And I have this hunch that more and more of us find ourselves in a place not all that different from the Egypt where the ancient Hebrews languished. Except our slavery is self-constructed, it's self-imposed, and therefore far more difficult to detect or overcome. We're enslaved to notions of success. And therefore, we put very few limits on our work. We're enslaved to ideas about our children having every possible opportunity, and therefore schedule them into frenetic lives, and then wonder why they have trouble paying attention. We're enslaved to the belief that the only thing that will bring contentment is more. More money, more space in our homes, more cars, more things to put on our resumes or in our closets, just more, more, more. Go ahead. Name that thing that you've fallen prey to wanting more and more of. And such levels of wanting, quite frankly, don't permit much time for anything but work. In light of all this, listen again to Jesus' simple invitation. Come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest a while. This is not just an invitation to take an afternoon off or to go on vacation, though those are certainly important parts of our rest. This is an invitation to loosen our shackles and climb out of the cages we've constructed from a socially fed belief that more is the ticket to happiness and that work is the ticket to more. Now hear the opening verse of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We tend to focus so strongly on the powerful shepherd imagery of the first half of the verse, and that imagery makes no sense apart from the second half. Because the Lord is my shepherd, that is, I shall not want. Because I trust God for my good, I shall not cave in to the loud din of culture enticing me to want and want and want. Because God has promised to take care of me, I will get off the treadmill of work and accumulation so that I can rest and notice the abundance and give thanks. And that's the key thing about Sabbath rest, I think. It invites a chance to step back and stand apart from all the things that usually drive and consume us, that we can detect God's presence and providence and blessing. We can experience a sense of contentment and rejoice and give thanks. Christ came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Life is what we're meant to have more abundantly. Too often we see abundant as a quantitative term, a term of multiplication. But God's abundance is a term of quality. Abundant life is life together. Life with our loved ones, with our families, with our friends. A life more connected to God and to one another. The gospel does not call us to have stuff and have it more abundantly. It calls us to life. Today, right here, make a commitment to yourself, to your family, and to God, that there is one thing that you will not do this week. If you have a pencil, write it down. It's one evening you'll shut down your computer, or gasp, turn off your cell phone. One appointment you'll refuse to make, or one obligation or opportunity you will forego. And then also commit to one thing that you will do this week in order to rest. One walk you will take with a friend or a spouse. One game you'll play with a child or neighbor. One opportunity you'll take to sit alone or with others, not in front of the television, but simply to contemplate your blessings and abundance so that you can go to bed content and grateful. Write these things down and put them on your refrigerator or on your computer monitor or tuck it in your Bible or wherever it is that you'll see it, so they can remind you that God calls you to a life of abundance, to abundant life. Come away, he says, to a deserted place, all by yourself, and rest a while.
We believe in one God, Father God. Almighty God, we pray for the cities of this nation, that hatred and urban violence may cease. We pray especially for Charleston, Baltimore, Ferguson, and our own city of Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the earth, that we may come to respect and honor one another. We especially pray for the people of the Middle East, Ukraine, and Nigeria. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray together for the Middle East using a prayer written by our own parishioners. Almighty God, lover and provider of peace that the world cannot give, you know our hearts, the hurt we harbor, and the sin of complacency. We ask you to grant everyone who lives in the Middle East the peace of God which passes all understanding, and the freedom to live in love and harmony, so everyone can seek your face and work for your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns in peace with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Embrace the souls of those who have died. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community, and for this beautiful earth that we call home. We thank you for all our blessings. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings. Lord, in your mercy,
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We ask you, Almighty God, to forgive all the mistakes that we have made. Help us to become the people that you call us to be. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you.
Good morning. I confess, I left the announcement sheet in the back. We'd like to welcome you if you're visiting here with us for the first time. If you are, raise your hand. If you're a visitor, raise your hand, and so the ushers will bring you a nice little information. You have to keep your hand up so that they can find you. Okay. Here they come. Don't forget that this summer, during the summer, we're having breakfast in Tolliver Hall at 9 o'clock. This morning was a wonderful Middle Eastern breakfast prepared by Father Raja and his family. It was, and Lily was wonderful. If you'd like to help a group cook breakfast during the summer, then please contact Sue Engerman in the church office. And the more the merrier, because it's a lot of people to feed every morning. Messy Church is an interactive worship experience for all ages and is being offered at 9 o'clock, about the same time as breakfast, in Tolliver Hall. Volunteers are needed to help set up and to buy supplies for that. If you're interested in helping out, please call the church office, or you can sign up on the sign-up sheet in the cloisters. If you have a pastoral need, don't hesitate to call your shepherds. Do we have shepherds here this morning? Are there shepherds? Shepherds here? Stand up, shepherds. So that I keep talking about shepherds, but I want people to put faces with their shepherds. So, shepherds. It will really help us to know what you need, and the shepherds are trained to help figure out what ministries of the church can be offered to you in your time of need. So please call your shepherd if you need them. Godspell will be performed at the cathedral this Friday and Saturday to benefit Church Without Walls. The wrap on your bulletin has details of times and ticket prices. And then finally, Ultrea tonight at 5 o'clock at St. Peter's in Fernandina. If you'd like to attend that Ultrea, bring a covered dish to share with the rest of the Cursiistas who will meet you there. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for men for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his word of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving,
we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming.
Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may work to serve the world in his name.
Risen Lord, be known to us great and bread.
Accept his prayers, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, the Church gives honor, glory and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has told us, we are bold to say,
thank you.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.